Well, more than 400 million tonnes of plastic is produced globally each year, and the UN has warned on numerous occasions that there could be more plastic in our oceans than fish by 2050 if nothing is done to reduce plastic waste. But there are high hopes. UN talks in Ottawa this week could be the circuit breaker.
Plastics became the epitome of consumer culture in the mid-20th century. Cheap, disposable, and modern, or so we thought. We trained ourselves to become reliant on the disposable consumer culture. We're here today because we recognize that we must throw away this throwaway generation.
That's Canadian Environment Minister Stephen Guilbeault speaking overnight as global leaders gather in Ottawa to discuss the progress in drafting the first global treaty to reduce plastic pollution. Rebecca Prince-Ruiz is the founder of Plastic Free July and joins us now. Hi there, Rebecca.
Hello.
Just how important are these talks in Ottawa?
Look, these talks are critical. As we've just heard, this is a growing issue. We know that without a comprehensive and a legally binding global treaty, we're actually going to double the amount of plastic waste by 2040. So the time to act is now.
Mm. And the challenge is complex because, you know, these plastics have a life from production to the end and recycling. But we know that almost all single-use plastics are made from fossil fuels, and negotiations in November of last year stalled when oil-producing nations argued that a treaty should focus rather on waste management over scaling down the production of plastic. I mean, this is obviously a key hurdle, but what are some of the obstacles and stumbling blocks in these talks?
Yeah, look, absolutely. The last International Negotiating Committee meeting did get off the rails, and now we just have to get it back on track with an agreed formal program of work. And, you know, at the end of the day, we know that, you know, despite our best efforts, despite all the work that has been done by so many communities and businesses and governments over the last, I've been working on this issue for 14 years, that even though we've introduced some plastic single-use bans and done all of this work, that our recycling rates aren't going up. So at the end of the day, we actually need to have global rules that are binding. This can't happen at a local or a state or a national level. It has to happen globally. And we actually need to tackle the elephant in the room, which is plastic production.
Mm, mm. I noticed that the Ecuadorian ambassador to the UK was saying the compromise is an important word. How long likely are you to get compromise at the inception of that phase where plastic is made, where it's produced, the production of plastics?
Well, I think the people that these companies need to, and countries need to listen to the views of global citizens. We recently, with WWF and Ipsos, released a global report showing more than 85% of people worldwide are clear that they want a strong treaty. They want it to be legally binding. They want it to tackle plastic production. And unless we tackle that and address the challenges of plastic across the, and I hesitate using this word, but it's the one that's been used, life cycle, from extraction of fossil fuels to production to consumption and use and disposal, we're never going to be able to turn this situation around.
Mm. There's lots of different plastics out there, but single-use plastic seems to be one of the challenging plastics. According to the UN's environmental program, 1 million plastic bottles are purchased every minute around the world. That's up to 5 trillion plastic bags are used globally as well. Will single-use plastics be a key focus of these talks as well?
I think absolutely there will be a key focus, and again, that's an issue that there's very strong public support to have to ban eliminate high risk and avoidable plastic products. But again, you know, with fossil fuel production increasing, particularly as we're shifting to renewables, it's really critical that what we need to tackle is turning off this plastics tap and actually reducing production. Otherwise, you know, what is we're going to see, in what our fear is in the future, that this all of this plastic production is just going to be used to make single-use other products, and just going to create a knock-on effect there.
Rebecca Prince-Ruiz is the founder of Plastic Free July. She's talking about the UN talks currently underway in Ottawa for the first global treaty to reduce soaring plastic waste here on RN Drive. You mentioned those numbers around recycling before, that they haven't really moved over the last couple of years. Less than 10% of plastic waste is recycled. How optimistic are you that these numbers can in fact be improved at all?
I'm optimistic that they can be improved, absolutely, on some items. You know, we know that here in Australia, all states and territories, but Tasmania has container deposit schemes, and we know with that beverage producer responsibility scheme, we have very high levels of recycling, and that the plastics bottles that going through container deposit schemes can go bottle to bottle. But we need them. We need those kinds of schemes globally. Not all plastics are equal. So unlike the clear PET that's in beverage containers, we all know that soft plastics are a challenge, and a lot of those plastic, the single-use packaging that we're using in our food products, in takeaway food and beverages, it's low quality, it's often contaminated, it's consumed in public places. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not technically recyclable, most plastics, but it's just not economically viable to collect it. And then we don't have any end markets for those materials. And so we end up with this illusion that, oh, well, just because it's recyclable, it's going to be recycled. That's actually not the question. Yeah. And, you know, despite our national waste targets, it's clear that these voluntary efforts and the market's not working. So it's really up to governments to legislate.
Yeah. You might be able to answer one of our listeners who's texted in. Why is it so hard to find milk in cardboard or other non-plastic containers? Have they just gone by the wayside?
Yeah, again, and I think that's something that differs on where you live. Some places still you can and get it in even refillable glass bottles. But the problem with plastic is it's so cheap, and probably actually the plastic milk bottles is the HDPE is one of the more recyclable types of plastics, at least in Australia. But by and large, plastic is the cheapest material for businesses to package goods in and to sell it. And it is cheaper for them to use virgin plastics than recycled plastics. It's significantly more expensive for a business to use recycled content than virgin plastic.
Yeah, so a lot of it comes down to economics, doesn't it?
Yeah. But again, that's why we need, you know, measures around product design and performance and use of recycled content.
Just in the last sort of 30 seconds that we've got, Rebecca, you're the founder of Plastic Free July. Can you tell us a little bit about this campaign, what it entails and what the uptake's been like?
Look, the uptake since we started in 2011 has been massive. Last year, around 90 million people around the world took part, just choosing to refuse these problematic single-use plastics in their everyday lives. And small steps really do add up to make a big difference. And together, they avoided 900 million kilos of plastic. So people are concerned they're making change, but they can't just do it by themselves.
Rebecca Prince-Ruiz is the founder of Plastic Free July. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks very much, and look forward to following this with great interest.